this morning, I want us to look in the book of Jeremiah, various scriptures, and I want to begin by just speaking briefly about Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in a time when God's judgment was about to be poured out upon the nation, upon the people. It was so bad, and the Lord knew that it was going to only get worse, that God in His graciousness warned Jeremiah in chapter 16 not to even bother getting married and having children. He says, you're better off. It's going to be bad. You don't want to be bogged down this way. And he said, don't do that. Don't go there. The next generation was going to face judgment. Talk about a warning, you know. Wasn't a very good time for sure. It wasn't easy to be a prophet. It's never been easy really to be a prophet, but there were times when it was harder. And for Jeremiah, it was certainly one of those times, because the message of the prophet, which is the message of the Lord, was a harsh message, a message of judgment. And so it doesn't surprise us that Jeremiah didn't have very many friends. You know, if he had seen the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he would have failed that book. You know, he just wouldn't have made it. Everything he did would have probably gone against whatever that book had to say. Jeremiah was not about to win any popularity contests. He had few friends, few supporters, but he did have some. And one of his faithful friends was a man I mentioned yet last Sunday, a man named Baruch. And this morning I'd like for us to take a little closer look at the life of this friend, Baruch. You know, there are some people whose work is front and center. They're the leaders, they're the ones who you see making things happen. But we also know that behind every leader, there are numerous people often who are supporting, who are helping in various ways. And that's what Baruch was. He was a man who was a support to Jeremiah. He worked behind the scenes most of the time, or alongside Jeremiah. Baruch was a scribe. Or, in more common language, we might think of him as Jeremiah's personal secretary. It doesn't come as a surprise then, in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1, when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, in verse 4 it says, Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah, and while Jeremiah dictated all the word the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them down on the scroll. Now, I don't know how much fun it was to spend your whole day writing things down as someone dictates it. I can't imagine that it's a very exciting role. It would have been rather tedious, especially since they had no word processors. You know, it wasn't a matter of firing up the computer. And, you know, today I have a device at home. It's a little 7-inch tablet. I can fire it up and I can start speaking into it. It's got a little microphone and it'll dictate for me whatever I say, as long as I'm fairly legible in my speaking, reasonable, it'll understand, it'll dictate. And there it is. Well, Baruch didn't have such a device, obviously. And everything that Jeremiah said, spoke, Baruch had to write on a scroll of all things. And once everything was written down, however long that was to take, Jeremiah told Baruch to go to the temple and read what was on the scroll. If you have your Bibles open, turn to chapter 36. We're in Jeremiah chapter, well, several chapters, but right now in 36. We don't know for sure why Jeremiah didn't go into the temple himself to read, but we get a hint from this passage. Beginning at verse 5, Jeremiah says, I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to all the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them all to the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways, for the anger and wrath pronounced against his people by the Lord are great. And so Jeremiah is telling Baruch, you know, everything that I dictated and you wrote down, he says, I can't go to the temple. I'm restricted. I think they said, you know, they had enough of Jeremiah. That's what I hear. You know, they had enough of him in the temple. And it's like, Jeremiah, you're not welcome here anymore. Don't come anymore. We're tired of your message. Stay out. And so Jeremiah says, all right, Baruch, my buddy, have I got a job for you? You know, everything that I told you to write down. Oh, yeah, those nasty things. Yeah, that. So I want you to go into the temple on a day of fasting. Maybe the people will connect the dots, you know. It's a day of fasting. Maybe they'll understand. And I want you to read everything I said. And maybe, just maybe they will respond. Maybe they will understand. Maybe they will repent. Maybe they will see that God is going to bring wrath upon them. And that they would turn to the Lord and call upon Him and turn from their ways. Well, verse 8 says that Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to. Now remember, this isn't an easy job that Baruch had. I mean, you know, Jeremiah's already been kicked out. And so it doesn't really bode well for Baruch. But he goes and he did everything. He was a faithful servant. Whatever Jeremiah said, Baruch, he followed through with it. Even though it wasn't a popular message, he went in and spoke the words calling for repentance, for change. Many would not only reject the message, but quite often the messenger along with it. Well, the words that Baruch read must have had an impact because before long he was asked to go and to read to some of the officials of the land. And when Baruch went and took the scrolls and he went to the officials and he began to read the words that Jeremiah had dictated, these officials, they looked at each other with fear. You could just imagine that the color from their faces was draining, you know? They wondered, what is this? And then they wondered, who spoke these words? Where did you get this from? And Baruch said in verse 19 that it was from Jeremiah. Then the official said to Baruch, you and Jeremiah, go and hide. Don't let anyone know where you are. How's that for a warm reception? It's like, you got something hot here. You better, you know, you're going to get in trouble. Go and hide yourselves. It's not going to be safe. And so Jeremiah and Baruch went into hiding, and then the scroll was brought out to the king. And I don't know who it was, but somebody gets up to read it, and the king is not impressed. He is not impressed by the words that Jeremiah dictated and Baruch wrote down. And as each section of the scroll is read, the king cuts off that section and burns it into fire. Got a nice little fire going there. Verse 23. You'd see it there. Can you imagine that? This is Jeremiah's work. This is Baruch's work. They put their sweat into it. They put their thought into it. And here it is going up in flames. Verse 24. The king and all his attendants who heard these words showed no fear. After all, if the king is burning it up, you know, what are we going to be? What are we going to worry about? And so there it was. The word was being read and cut and burned. Read, cut and burned. Meanwhile, Jeremiah and Baruch are in hiding. And as it happens so often, instead of responding with repentance, the leadership rejected the message. And it makes me wonder, if I can just pause for a moment, how is it? What is it about us that when we are challenged with the truth, we deny it, we reject it, and we accept what is pleasing to ourselves? Friends, that is just how pervasive the sinful nature is. We can deceive ourselves so easily. That's why we need to be on guard. That's why we need, the armor of God that we talk about. That's why we need to gather together. Because on our own, it is so easy. The heart is so deceptive that we can fool ourselves. We can tell ourselves, oh, no, that's not right. Oh, no, I'm okay. And if the Spirit of God is putting something on our heart, some conviction, if it's from God and there's conviction, we need to respond to that. And here the king and all the leaders, they scoffed at the message. They destroyed the message. They put a warrant out for the messengers. And for Jeremiah and Baruch, it would have been so easy for them to say, well, we tried. We did our part. I've been there. I don't know. You probably have too. When you've tried to work with somebody or try to change something or do something good and right. And you try and it gets rejected or you fall on your face. And I've done that. Well, I've tried. I've done my best. That's it. Wash my hands of that one. And I could imagine if Jeremiah and Baruch would have felt that way or would have been tempted to respond that way. After all, how much can a man take? What would they do next? Well, God didn't allow them to stop. God had Jeremiah dictate the message again. And poor Baruch, after everything he's been through, there he is, pulling out another scroll. I don't know where he got it from. And having to write it all out again. And if you thought this preacher was long, you should have seen Jeremiah. And he had lots and lots to write. And away he went, writing it out again, word for word, as the Lord spoke through Jeremiah. Baruch is faithful. Even though his work was previously destroyed, along with Jeremiah's work, they do it again. They do what is required. They are faithful. But you know what? Even when somebody is faithful, sometimes it gets hard. And Baruch, he had his limits. And somewhere along the way, Baruch expresses his frustration. We see it in chapter 45, verse 3. You said, woe to me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest. The Lord is referring back to Baruch's own words. You said, woe to me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I'm worn out with groaning and find no rest. I think if we were in Baruch's shoes, we would probably be saying the same sort of thing. If everything we've done seems to have gone for nothing. If we've invested our lives, our blood, sweat, and tears into something and it just isn't happening. Maybe you've invested years into something and it's just falling apart. And you have nothing to show for your work. Maybe that middle age crisis comes along. I don't even know when that's supposed to hit. I don't know. I'm 51, 50, I don't know what I am, but one of these years, I don't know. And you know, you wonder, like, what have I done? What have I accomplished? Was it all worth it? I don't see anything to show. It would be easy to say, woe is me. Woe is me. The truth is, we all want to matter. The truth is, we all want to feel like what we're doing is worthwhile. Even if it's basic. It doesn't have to be, you know, top of the world, super responsible position to feel like I'm contributing. It could be something simple. A few weeks ago when I talked about work, how we conduct ourselves in the workplace, I referred to my time when I was young working at McDonald's. Man, that was almost 35 years ago. And, you know, my coworkers thought I was nuts because I had the job of keeping the lobby clean and I enjoyed it. I didn't complain about it. I did. I enjoyed it. It was my lobby. And I, and maybe I carried it too far. And if people came in with muddy shoes, you know, I felt like these guys are dirtying my floor. You know, and so I'd get out the mop and I'd clean up after them. And sometimes it'd be terrible to, you know, just rushes. And it was my job to keep the tables clean. And the garbage emptied, keep it from overflowing. And you know, I took a lot of pleasure in that job. I think my mother was worried about me for a while. She thought I was enjoying it so much that that was going to be my life ambition to wear a McDonald's uniform all through my life. She was worried about that, I'll tell you. When I told her I was going to go to college finally, she was quite relieved, you know. Yes. But I enjoyed it because what I did mattered. It did. It mattered. I could see the results. Now imagine Baruch. Everything he's done, there's nothing for it. There's nothing to show. He wants to do something useful. He wants to make a difference. He spends his life supporting Jeremiah. And now they got nothing to show for that. His work has gone up in smoke. It's been rejected. They've been in hiding. And then in chapter 45, verse 5, the Lord says to Baruch, should you then seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. In other words, what I believe the Lord is saying to Baruch is, don't worry, Baruch. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about what you think you've missed in life. Don't concern yourself with the accomplishments. Instead, be faithful to what you've been called to. You see, the truth is that unless we see the fruit of our labor, our tendency is to think that we have failed. We are very result-driven. We seek great things. We want to see great results. And it's not bad. I'm not saying that we should be, you know, content with, you know, don't worry about anything. And, you know, don't worry about this. And don't try to excel in that. And, you know, just take an approach of, you know, whatever. I'm not suggesting that at all. But even when we seek great things, we need to be prepared to understand that there is something even greater that we don't see. And not everything can be measured in results. Everything within us tells us that our significance is in what we accomplish. We work hard, we do what is right, we give our best. But if nothing seems to change, we get discouraged. And I'll tell you, I've been down that road many times. And I think you probably have too. And I really believe that's how Baruch felt. He had been faithful. He had done what he was called to. He took the rejection. He took the hiding. He took it all. But after a while, he had to wonder if he shouldn't have chosen maybe a different line of work. He was worn out with groaning. And the Lord says to him, "What are you trying to do? Should you seek great things? Do not seek them, for I will bring disaster on all people. But, he says, wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life." The Lord is saying, Baruch, you didn't waste your life. You have been faithful. If you had spent your life making a great name for yourself, Baruch, it would have all been lost. You can see, you don't know it, but a disaster is coming. Everything that you would have built up for yourself, the Lord says, Baruch would have been destroyed anyway. It would not have lasted. That would have been a waste. But, Baruch, because you have been faithful, because you put God before yourself, this is what I'm going to do for you, Baruch. Wherever you go, I'm going to let you escape with your life. You will be a testimony of God's grace. Where there is disaster all around, where there is loss, you're going to see, and people are going to see, that I have my hand around you because you have been faithful. Baruch may have thought he was wasting his life away. Time was passing. He was no further ahead. But in reality, he was sowing the seeds of success, of his life being spared and of being a witness and a testimony to others around him. And friends, the message for us this morning is really simply this. We will never go wrong following God's agenda. We will never go wrong doing what is right, even if we don't see the results we want to see. Results are great, don't get me wrong. But even more important is our faithfulness. And so this morning I want to encourage you, whatever your occupation is, whatever you are doing, if you ever wonder, is it worth it? Am I making a difference? Or am I just wasting my time? If you're ever wondering if it's worth it, I want to encourage you, if you are doing what God wants you to do, if you are living in the way that God wants you to live, if you are speaking in the way God wants you to speak, if you are being the man or woman of God that God wants you to be, then don't give up. Don't give in. Keep faithful and persevere. Let's continue doing what God wants us to do. Let's continue being who God wants us to be and allow Him to take care of how it's going to all turn out. He will do things we can't even comprehend and that we can't even see. And the fruit of our labor might come way later than we will ever even notice. But God is faithful. And I want to encourage us to be faithful as well in all things. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray this morning that as we consider our lives and our work and what we've done and maybe what we've not done, and Lord, sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes we wonder, what is it worth it all? Where am I getting? And I pray, Father, that you would help us to realize that when we are walking with you, when we are walking in obedience with you, whatever that means, however that looks, that you are pleased. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us the grace to go forward, to carry on, and to know, Lord, that you are in charge. And that, Father, there are times when we will never see the fruit of our labor. But, Father, we pray for your grace that we may always walk in obedience with you. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.